Welcome back, everyone, to Season 2 of IndieWorld on KPCRadio.com. I'm your host, Steve Lopez, and as usual, we're going to be delving into the world of filmmaking so all of you see what we love about filmmaking, from the arts to the technical sides. And today, we're going to be delving into the beautiful world of cinematography. Sorry. So all of you out there know, we're not that pretentious. And yes, I know, my voice is very coarse, my dear listeners. But as I said, we're going to be delving into cinematography, which is going to be a very fun venture because I have a wonderful guest here today. He is Pierce College Film Club's very own DP and semi-finalist of the Los Angeles Cinefest for All In as the position of DP. Chris Casey, everybody.
Hey, what's up?
How are you feeling today, Chris?
I am feeling good. A little tired, but good.
Really tired?
Yeah, I was. I had a late night last night, but I'm good. I'm ready to go.
Doing DP stuff?
Yeah, a little bit of editing.
Oh, really?
We were finishing up the... We're trying to figure out some audio issues with our short film that we did in film club. But I feel like we got some good progress. We're probably going to do some ADR, but it'll come out well.
Actually, you know, on the topic of that, why don't we just delve straight into that?
Okay.
So, film club's first film in years. What is this one called?
It's called Perdition.
And what was the experience of filming for this one?
It was fun. Even though I am a cinematographer, I haven't really gotten a chance to work with so many lights, and it was really fun to work with different lighting and figuring out just different like techniques that I could use in terms of filming them.
Really?
Yeah.
For all of our folks back at home who have a general idea of film, the cinematographer is essentially the guy who I like to say makes the film look pretty. He's the guy who frames stuff, who really just shows you what's inside of the camera. What you see on screen, the DP is doing that. Director too. And what the DP does is basically expresses the ideas and what exactly the director wants on screen. So that's basically, in a way, you can say he's kind of the painter of the film in some of a way. Would you like to see yourself as seen as the painter of film?
What I normally like think of is like the director has so much to do. I just want to be there to like help him bring his film to the next level and like make it not only a good story and stuff like that. I want to make the visuals like reflect the story. So yeah, I guess you would say a painter.
Kind of a Picasso type of thing, right?
Yeah.
But speaking of that, since you said like the director has a lot of things, did you see that like form of that busy work that the director was going through with this film you just did?
Yeah, we had around 4 or 5 actors, and since it's just a small little cast, he wanted to delve into like the character work for each of the characters. Mm-hmm. So like when he was talking with them, I would be setting up the shot, because the night before we would start shooting, we would talk about like what types of shots we wanted in the scene going into it. So I would just get it prepared while he worked with that. And yeah.
Actually, going on with this production, just how you would have to basically like lower some of the work for him. You just said that this is the most lights you've worked with. Could you like delve in a little bit into that?
My roommate, he has a couple lights that I've used on some of our shoots before, but we borrowed some of your lights actually for this shoot, and it helped. Like the lights that I did have from my roommate were pretty wide and kind of like were good as kicker lights or like fill lights on the side of the face. It wasn't a really good key light. So using your lights, we got some good keys in there to like help brighten up the face, which is something I used to struggle with, not having the equipment. But now having your lights, that helped like brighten up the image and make it a lot more, you could see a lot more detail in the actors' faces than you could before if it was just kind of like this wide fill, like bland kind of look. It just gave it that extra pop that it needed.
Yeah, actually, what you just said right there, I think that's a very interesting tidbit for our viewers who don't know about lights from your the DP perspective, from your cinematographer perspective.
Yeah.
How would you describe the ideas of a key light, a kicker light, and a fill light?
Okay, so the key light is basically something that like lights your actor's face. Like that's what you want the main light coming from, and you want to make sure that it's coming from a practical place. It's not just coming from like this random light up in the corner of a room. You want it like coming through a window or coming from a lamp in the shot or something like that. And so you want the practical in the shot, but as well as getting that key light, it just adds a little bit of extra detail on their face. And then the fill light is basically all the shadows on the other side of the face. So with the key light, you light one side of the face, and then for the fill, you would like to get a little bit more detail in the shadows that the key light creates. And the fill light is just there to help even the contrast of the dark side of his face and the key light of his, the key light that's on his face. And then the kicker light is just something for the background to liven up the background a little bit and give it a little bit more of a pop, rather than just have the actor being illuminated and glowing on the screen.
And also that for reviews, this is also known as the backlight, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
And when you're, for this film and the other films you work, as a DP, as a cinematographer, mm-hmm. are you always having light in your mind the moment you're on set, the moment you see a floor plan, the moment you just get into a film?
Yeah, lights is sort of new to me. Like, I would normally just film with just whatever light was given to me, a window or a light in a room. Like, I would just work with what I had, basically. But now that I've started using lights a little bit more, having access to lights has definitely, brought it up to, another level. And I'm starting to think more about lights when going into a shoot because, it's hard if you're in cramped places. That's something that I learned with this shoot. It's hard when you're in a small space to, get the lighting exactly how you want it because you don't have as much room to work with. So we actually used the window. We used that as, a good, kind of fill light. We took the shades, bounced them up to the ceiling so that the light went up to the ceiling and bounced off the ceiling and gave this nice overall kind of, diffused light in the whole scene, and then just bring in the extra lights to help fill in the little spaces that are missed.
That's really interesting in a sense that you're basically not just using artificial lights, but you're also actually using what you got on set mm-hmm. as a little trick for it.
Yeah. We in some of the shots that we did, we actually angled them down so they have this striped light, that looks like it's shining through shades onto, some of the actors. And it gave these nice, little accent lights, that just made it, a little bit more in-depth. It made it more realistic, in a sense. You got those lines on them, so you know where the light is coming from. It's coming from that. It just helps, fill in the blanks for whoever's watching.
And who would you say is the one who makes decisions about creative ideas like that?
For this shoot, I was trying out some new things because I didn't have your lights, for example. I never had that many lights before. So in terms of being who is calling the shots, Neiman, obviously, the director, was he was calling the shots. But we had a good back and forth. It wasn't back and forth we were arguing about it, but we were talking about what needs to be seen in this scene and what we need to light and what we don't need to light and what color we should use. The lights that I have that have these red and blue filters on them, so I used that blue filters because we kind of went with a orange teal kind of color palette. The skin tones were orange, and then the background and everything was kind of cooled down, so we brought in that blue filter onto the wide lights that filled up the background, and it just kind of gave it this nice overall feel to it. And overall, I think it was both of us making decisions on the creativity. It's just having ideas, throwing them out there and seeing what works.
Now, speaking about that, since you just said that you were collaborating with the director and that this was your kind of one of your first projects where you were really involved with light, mm-hmm. how was the experience of, going away from your comfort zone and actually starting to use artificial lighting?
It was a little bit scary at first because I did a lot of research before the shoots just to see any interesting ideas that people had. I've seen people use bed sheets as diffusion, like DIY. We didn't really have any problems with like harsh lighting, so it wasn't that bad. But yeah.
And speaking about that, when you think about like your creative aspects about light, what really drives you to do such like non-conventional type of lighting? What drives you to like create, like you said, those stripes?
Mm-hmm. I feel like it just gives the it gives the image like this little extra pop, this little extra detail that makes it not as bland. Like in terms of like figuring out like different like uses in lighting, like for the short that you mentioned that I was the cinematographer for All In, we only used two lights throughout that shoot. Well, we actually used three, but one of them was a practical. It was set in a garage, and there was a light coming down over the table, and it was just a light bulb that we just set there. So that was our main key light, but in the background, we used these blue and reds as a contrasting image to show the conflict within the characters. Like, one character would be bathed in red while one would be bathed in blue. So, like, we went creatively with trying to figure out, like, how the lighting affects your view on the character subconsciously. Like, the colors, I feel like color is a very big, important part in the use in what you, like, how you use color in film is very, very, very important. And it subconsciously can tell you things about the characters, like, through the lighting or through the colors of the lighting and whatever.
Is there any other examples you have? Like, you have for All In, and also a bit for the film's known as the new film you've worked on is No Perdition, right?
Yeah.
Are there any other examples of you using lighting to convey a sort of message?
I mean, it's more recently that I've started using lighting. Like, those are the two main shoots where I've started using lighting creatively. Before that, I would just, like, try and find, like, lamps to, like, light the scene because it was too dark or something, and I was trying to get the nice depth of focus. I wanted a faster f-stop on that. But overall, like, those are, like, the two main, like, things that I've been using creatively. I don't really have any other examples, but those are the two main ones, yeah.
And since you brought up All In, I guess we can just, like, delve into that. How could you give us a little bit of backstory about this contest you entered and the film itself?
Right. So my friend, he goes to college up in CSUN, over on, Cal State Northridge. And, excuse me. What was I talking about?
Your friend, CSUN.
Yeah, my friend at CSUN. He came back for the summer, and he had this short that he wanted to film. Actually, no, it was winter break. He brought it back to when he came down to San Diego. He came to... we wanted to film a short while he was down. And basically, he already wrote this script and had been wanting to film it for a while. It was a very Wes Anderson type of, like, story. Like, kind of like the characters were, like, very Wes Anderson-esque. And basically the whole idea is, the premise is, they're two brothers. It all takes place while they're playing poker. Two brothers are reunited. One brother was dating someone, but they broke it off, and his girlfriend was cheating on him with the other brother. So it's his brother bringing his other brother back to kill him. And it's like this whole poker game, like, that, like, there's a lot of tense, like family issues that you can tell that's, like, going on. They haven't talked in a while, and it's, you can just feel the tensity in it.
And then you enter this into this contest.
Yeah, we entered it into a lot of festivals. We heard back from this one, I think one other. I can't remember the name of it at this time. But we entered it in because after we finished filming it, we were like, hey, we actually kind of like this one. Like, this one, like, feels like more... I've done stuff with my roommate for a long time. We've done, like... Alex is his name, Alex Red. We grew up in San Diego together, and we've always kind of wanted to do film and make stories together. And this is like one of the ones where we felt proud of it. Like we felt proud with how it came out. So that's why we entered it into film festivals and seeing what response we would get.
And how did it feel getting that response of being the semifinalist?
It was really nice, honestly. It felt rewarding, like our work was kind of recognized. And it's just, it was nice. It was like, we didn't really expect to hear back from any of them. We were just kind of like, you know what, let's just submit it, see what happens. And we heard back from like a couple, and we were like surprised. I was proud of the work that I made, but like it was just shocking a little bit. But it was like, it made me feel like good about like, this is something I want to do, and people, like, they seemed to like it, which was rewarding. And like, it made me feel like, hey, maybe this actually can work out. And it was just, yeah, it felt nice.
Would you say that this is one of those moments that really like would break down any doubts you have about this career?
I would say, yeah. Because like, for example, we worked with minimal gear. Like we only had a gimbal, a camera with one lens and two lights. That's it. And a boom and a zoom. Like, just to do audio externally. But like something with that minimal of equipment, we heard back from it, like from that festival, like makes me feel good. Like it's just, I don't know, like if in the future, like we get more equipment, I feel like it can like up like the production value and make it feel like an actual like film. Because I feel like with movies, it's all about storytelling, right? We're all telling stories. And we basically, how me and my friend have learned filmmaking, story is king, audio comes next, so you can hear the story being told, then worry about visuals. I'm there so that you don't have to worry about visuals for my friend. That's like kind of, we have like a duo, like a Wes Anderson and Robert Yeoman type duo. And it's just, telling good stories is what we want to do. My grandpa was a storyteller. I grew up with hearing stories, and it was just, I feel like it's ingrained with me because I've also done musical theater since I was 8. And it's just, I feel like stories are how people connect with each other. And I feel like there's no other, like, better way to tell a story than a movie, basically.
And now you actually gave us a little bit of background about who you are. Mm-hmm. And I was actually going to delve into that. I wanted to ask, what drove you to filmmaking?
Before I wanted to do film, I actually wanted to be an architect. So I was already kind of like creative, like in like the sense of like coming up with visuals and like having like symmetry is something that I always loved, like symmetry and like shots and stuff like that. So my like overall aesthetic is mid-century modern. Like I love mid-century modern stuff. So I would like flip Frank Lloyd Wright. Like that was my favorite architect for a while. But then I took a film class in my high school, and it was this video production class. And I just did it to fill up credits. And then I like was like, okay, this was fun. And then my teacher came up to me and he was like, hey, I'm starting this new class called Leadership in Media, and I would like you to be a part of it. I would like you to be like one of the students in it. I was like, you know what? I need to fill up more credits, so might as well. I had fun with it. And then when I got into that class, it like all changed. Like that's like when I learned I wanted to do film, because in that class, every week we made the school announcements like that were shown in our cohort classes. Like we filmed them, edited them, and then posted them online and gave them to like all the teachers so they could watch. And basically me and my friend Alex, again, he was in that class, and we took it and we made it into like, we kind of made it into our baby in a sense. Like we were like, hey, let's make this good. Let's not just do it because we have to do it. Let's actually like have fun with it. Let's grow from this. Like, let's make sure that we use this time wisely. And it was just, that's where I started falling in love with film. And then the next year I took the class again. And then we made our first film, in that class, we started making film because we had a lot of extra time during the week. We would finish it up early, and then we would just have a bunch of time. And then, basically, after that, that first film was awful. but there was a lot of stuff that we learned from it, which was nice. And then the next year, we made our film, and it was a 48-minute film. We originally were going to go for, like, an hour and 30 minutes. We had, like, a 73-page script typed up, ready to go. Hour and 10, I guess. But we had it ready to go. We'd started filming it, and then a month in, our, like, lead actor that we cast dropped out of the project. So we started running out of time. We had to get it done in, like, 3 or 4 months. So we cut it down to, like, 48 pages. We recast it, and we filmed it over those 3 or 4 months. And we got it done for a screening at our school. Our school had, like, an arts festival thing going on, and we dedicated a whole room to screening our, like, little film, which was super rewarding and super fun to watch people, like, watch our film, and they were laughing, and they were enjoying it, and it was just so, like, yeah, there was no better feeling than that. Like, just watching people react to, like, our film and liking it was, like, I want to do this. Like, my main thing, like, in being a cinematographer is, like, I want someone to watch a movie that I make and feel inspired to do the same thing. I want them to, like, feel like, wow, I hope that one day, like, someone would be look at a film that I, like, DP'd for him. It's like, wow, I really like that image. I want to do film now. I want to do that. Like, because, like, that's how I felt, like, while watching Wes Anderson movies and Robert Yeoman. I was like, oh, I love these shots. I love the symmetry in them. And, like, it's just so pleasing to the eye. Like, I want to do that. I want to do that. And I hope that one day, like, I can get to that same level where someone watches a film that I've made and feels that same inspiration.
It's really poignant. But actually, that actually makes me want to get into it. Mm-hmm. You bring up Yeoman a lot and Wes Anderson, mm-hmm. and
yeah.
you've of course brought up symmetry being an aspect that you really yeah. enjoy about those shots. What other aspects about the cinematography from especially Yeoman and Wes Anderson that you enjoy?
What I love about Wes Anderson's movies and, like, Yeoman, they have so much detail in the background that you, like, in Moonrise Kingdom, like, I feel like there's a missed storyline that no one ever really pays attention to. The Club Scout Master and the radio woman, like, start dating. They, like, throughout the movie, you see her, like, in little tiny scenes, like, in the background, she gives him some of his food, or he gives her some of his food. I don't remember which way. But in the end of the movie, it shows the tent, and then there's a picture of her sitting on his desk. Like, they have this whole relationship that grew out of it, out of this experience. But that wasn't the main point of the story. Like, those little details in the background are what bring your film to, like, the next level. Like, that, like, just, like, having, like, those stories is just, like, and, like, the intricate detail within the shots, like, the little, down to, like, how, like, the painting is tilted and, like, them fixing it and, like, making it, like, symmetrical and, like, and just so overall beautiful. The color palette that Wes Anderson uses is just so, like, oh, it's so vibrant and full of life, and it's just, it feels like you're watching a storybook, and it's just amazing.
Spoilers for Moonrise Kingdom, by the way.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry about that.
It's all good, no worries. But actually, I really enjoyed what you said about it. It's like storytelling. It's like all mm-hmm. these intricate details, because I wanted to ask, do you want to do that in your films, or have you done that already? Like, things with the background, with them filling the screen with certain aspects.
I haven't really explored it much, but I do. Like, I really want to, like, bring films to the next level. Like, me and my friend, he just got a Blackmagic pocket cinema camera with 3 new lenses, so I'm looking forward to using that. overall, we want to start making, we're planning this winter break to write a bunch of stuff so we can film over winter break and, like, make these, like, little proof of concept things. And that's one of the ideas I want to explore while writing, adding those little details in the background and making it, just bringing it to that extra level.
And on the topic of that, since you always bring up your friend, of course. Mm-hmm. What is his name again?
Alex.
Mm-hmm. So you two basically have a sort of a cooperative duo type mm-hmm. of thing going yeah. on. And how has that experience been, having someone that you just like, they're a part of you in this process?
The thing that's super nice about me and my friend Alex, we've grown up together and we have very similar views on how we want to make film. And I feel like the best part of our duo is that I think this is a positive aspect. We don't agree on everything, but that pushes us to make the film better. Like, he thinks of something I wouldn't have thought of, and I think of stuff that he wouldn't have thought of. So we kind of like complement each other in making this film that's like, we're filling in the blanks for each other, like bringing it to the next level and stuff like that. And I love working with him because we have very similar like basic ideas on how we want to tell a story. But then we have that aspect where we challenge each other and we make each other better. We like push each other to greatness and making the story great.
And since he's also a close friend of yours, mm-hmm. do you feel like this is a wonderful example of how a DP basically delves into the mind of the director and displays what they want on screen?
Mm-hmm. It also helps that I've grown up. I've known him since I was like 12 or 13. So I've known him for a very long time. So we already kind of know each other. We have like not an unsaid like respect for each other, but like we know each other well enough that we both know what we're doing. Like we both know, I know he knows what he's doing. He knows that I know what I'm doing. And basically, I'm sorry, what was the question?
It's all good. But it's just basically asking like, do you feel like what you have with your friend, the connection you two have as a mm-hmm. director and a DP and as also close friends, do you think that's the connection that other cinematographers have with their directors?
I mean, yeah, Robert Yeoman, if you look at some of, going back to Wes, because that's the one I know so well, Robert Yeoman, like before Wes, he did a bunch of stuff and you can see it's different from the work that he did with Wes, but he perfectly like, I think Wes is a big part in making those visuals because I know Wes storyboards for it and stuff like that. And then Robert Yeoman just knows how to like show what Wes Anderson wants to make. Like he is like Wes Anderson's like image. Like he makes his images happen. Like I'm sure that Robert Yeoman and Wes Anderson have a very like close relationship because they've done so many films together that they obviously have some sort of connection that like makes it that they know each other, and they know like Robert Yeoman knows what he's getting into when he goes to do a Wes Anderson movie. And I think that they probably have a very tight relationship in figuring out. Me and my friend have a very tight relationship, and we'll talk about certain shots on set, like what we want to show with this shot and what we want to like convey. And he'll tell me what he wants to convey and I'll think it through and then we'll just go for it. And then usually it ends up being exactly what he wanted. So, and then a little sum from my head, like mm-hmm. I add like, ooh, this would be cool. And then I do it. And then it ends up being fine. And
normally he would, your director, your mm-hmm. dear friend, he would be like, oh, I never thought of that. Actually, that would work.
Yeah.
So you think there's like a mutual connection between the...
Yeah, exactly. Like I was saying before, we fill in each other's blanks. Like when I'm like thinking of like, what could go here? He'll be like, oh, I think this. And I'll be like, oh, yeah, that's perfect. And then like, he's like, I don't know how I want to do this shot. And then I'll be like, oh, this is my idea. And he'll be like, oh, that's perfect. So like we fill in each other's blanks and it ends up working out for the best.
And You definitely have a deep connection with your friend and just director, my lord, I can't think of the word. But how does it feel when you're working with other directors?
So this is kind of this short that we did for the film club. It's kind of the first time I've worked with another director.
Really?
Just because me and my friend we always do so much. But it was interesting, definitely. It's like... weird, not it wasn't it was just kind of like a wake-up call for me, sort of, that like me and my friend have like this distinct view, and then there's other people who have other views on how to make film. But in the end, like, working with Neiman was a pleasure, and it was great. It was awesome. But it was just refreshing also to like try something new that I haven't really tried before. Like, he had certain ideas that I was like, okay, yeah, that could work. Like, it like kind of expanded my range of viewing, like what other directors want. And it definitely like was a wake up call, like, oh, not everyone has the same view as me and my friend. And that's not a bad thing. And it helps me exercise my work as a DP, like in working with other directors. It helps me like try and figure out what the director wants and like what shots he wants. And then I'll like help him figure out what he needs to do, the shots he wants to do.
Yeah. So even with directors who you have a very little or no connection with, in the end, the general rules of being a DP stays the same. It's a mutual understanding.
Yeah.
How do you go around working with like some, you knew Neiman,
yeah,
but he was somewhat of a stranger to you. How did you work around trying to convey the thoughts of this person who you don't know that well?
Well, me and Neiman started hanging out a lot, like after, like, so in the film club, we were like pitching our ideas, and then I had an idea, and then we kind of met and talked about it. And from there, we kind of like just started hanging out too. And like through this work of Perdition, like we sat down with the script and went through the script and figured out what shots we need. Like we talked it through the night before the first day. We sat down with the script and just looked through it and like, what do we want to convey here? Like, what are you thinking you want to convey? And then he says that, and I'm like, okay, here's my ideas on what types of shots we should get. There's also a great book, I recommend it, Master Shots, the Master Shot like volume series is an amazing, like, it just, it helps you like figure out different types of shots and whatever, and like how to use them and how to make them effective. And
I think that's actually very interesting. You're actually helping out future cinematographers.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, hey, that's a great, great series.
All of you out there, better get to reading.
Mm-hmm.
But that makes me want to change my gears towards the end of our show, right, which is talking about the industry. What about, for this is a show about positivity.
Right.
What recently that you have watched or changes you've seen in Hollywood, the mainstream, or even the, I guess you could say, indie aspect of film,
right,
that's really stuck out to you, stuff that you've really enjoyed, stuff that really is making you say, hey, film really is changing.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of more. I recently watched Mandy, the one with Nicolas Cage in it, and they use so many things that I have never thought of before. Like, they just use so many techniques and like that just were new and refreshing, and you're just like, oh, wow, like this industry is constantly changing. People are coming with up new ideas constantly and figuring out stuff. And it's just so rewarding to watch other people's films. Because watching other people's films, like any creative person will tell you, like, you kind of start with stealing ideas and then crafting them into your own. And watching more films and like learning new ideas that people are using today, like, will help pave a path to the future of like how films are portrayed and like different types of techniques that are used. Like, the zoom lens was like so overused in the 60s and 70s, but like now it's still used today, but it's used in effective moments. Like, and like things like from today's movies will be use in the future and like help pay the path into future filmmakers.
And do you think that these changes in Hollywood, that these radical shifts that you like, you think they're motivating you as a filmmaker? They're really like encouraging you to get out there and really make stuff?
I feel like, so going to school for film is, for me, is mainly about like making connections and like these are the people you're going to be working with, right? And what I want to be doing, like, when I watch these films, it makes me go out. So I love learning about film, but it makes me want to, watching these films makes me want to go out and do film, if that makes sense. Like, I want to go film. Like, I feel like you can learn so much in a class, but if you don't actually make films, it it's like a whole different world, like going out and making them. But once you start going out and making them, you'll start to figure out your style and you'll start to figure out like what you're doing in film and like figuring out what you want to like show to the world, basically.
That sounds great, actually. Mm-hmm. And to end our show, do you have any last closing statements to all our filmmaking listeners out there?
Yeah, sure. Let's see. I highly encourage you to like surround yourself with people that you want to work with, like that are very similar in like in your film. Like, sorry, I'm trying to form my thoughts. Basically, just go out and make. That's like my main like thing. Like, go out and make a film. It's a whole different world. And even if you're shooting it with your iPhone, like iPhones nowadays, like with an iPhone like 7 or like the f-stops on them, like at being at 1.8, like super good in low light, like you can start making films with your phone and editing them on iMovie. Like, and just starting there with the basic stuff and watching YouTube. YouTube is a great source, like Film Riot, DSLR Video Shooter, DSLR, I don't remember that one. But like, there's so many channels out there that will teach you like basics of film, and going out and doing it will like help you start to create your style, help you start to like find yourself as a creative person, like out in this field. And the sooner you get started on making films, the better, I feel.
Well, thank you so much for being here, Chris.
Yeah.
Now, for all of our listeners out there who want to see your work or see who you are, do you have any social media you'd like to tag?
I do. You can, if you want to watch our short film All In, it's on our YouTube page, What Productions. So it's What, all capitalized with a period at the end, Productions. It's like, it's this black logo with What in, it kind of looks like, if you ever seen Bo Burnham's stand-up special, What, it's basically like that. Like, it looks like that. It's called What Productions, and you can find me on at the Casey Person on Instagram, Twitter, and stuff like that. And I'm sure that I've posted links on that to What Productions on my pages, so you can go and find our films through there.
Well, again, thank you so much.
Yeah, and thanks for having me.
Oh, it's wonderful to have you here. So, to all my listeners, that was IndieWood, the season premiere of Season 2. I'm your host, Steve Lopez. You were listening to this show on kpcradio.com. And tune in next time where we're... Actually, I don't know what we're going to have next week, but it's going to be good. Trust me. So, tune in next week, guys. It's going to be fun.